actually two people, Chuck Johnson and Scott Bridle. And I understand you're sharing 3 minutes total.
Yes.
And you'll be followed by Thomas Mertz. Thank you.
You all should have a folder in front of you from Just Drive. My name is Scott Bridle. I'm the owner of Just Drive Incorporated. And with me tonight is Chuck Johnson, who owns the Just Drive Madison franchise. And I just wanted to take this time to introduce ourselves. We rent space currently in Madison Memorial High School and also in Madison West High School. So in the packet, I planned a little more than 3 minutes, but since I have three, I'll just show you what's in the packet, open it up for a couple questions if there are any. On the right side of the packet is an introduction letter. Tells you basically about our curriculum, how the company was developed, how our curriculum was developed, and what our mission statement is. On the left side of the packet, the first sheet is a biography on myself, also a biography on my wife, Christina, and a biography on Chuck, who owns the Madison franchise. You can see between myself and my wife, we developed the curriculum for Just Drive, developed it, wrote it, rewrote it, redeveloped it, did it three times in the last 3 years till we finally thought we got it right. The state of Wisconsin with private driving schools does not create curriculum for you. You submit your curriculum to the state of Wisconsin. They approve it. So just to let you know that all driving schools are not created equal, that you have to develop your own curriculum. The next page in that side of the folder is it just shows the upcoming dates and times for the classes that we're holding at the two high schools. And the last group of pages in the left side of the program basically is a sample of our curriculum. I've included about 8 slides from the PowerPoint presentation that we created and developed. All of our classes are PowerPoint-based and discussion-based. We do not use a textbook, and all of our lessons are geared to the 21st century learner. So basically, it was just to let you know who's renting space in the high school.
Thank you very much. If you ask one question, but we're not going to
be back on Skype. I just have one question. Are there scholarships available for students who may not be able to afford this?
That's something that we're open to discuss with the parent-teacher organizations if they have, a situation where it would help to give one free driver training program out to a student. Yes, we're wide open for that. We'd like to become involved with the school. We just don't want to rent space from the school.
Okay. All right. I would encourage that if you could.
Okay. Thank you.
Thomas Mertz, followed by Chris Gomez-Schmidt.
Good evening. I want to talk about two things today. Primarily, I want to talk about the Talented and Gifted Plan, but I want to begin by talking about the issue of equity and the equity report that was due June 2nd, according to the policy you passed on June 2nd, 2008. And many of the things I will be asking for in terms of evaluation and baseline information concerning the talented and gifted programming in Madison should have been included in that report. And I've been waiting for that report for a while, and I think our community deserves that report. On the talented and gifted plan, I want to begin by talking about some things that I think are really, really good in it. I think that the consistency across schools and working towards that is very, very good. I think improved and transparent identification procedures are very, very good. I think the staff development is very, very good. I think all that is necessary and is deserving of the scarce resources of the district. There's some other things that I think could be good, but in the current form, they aren't. The continued work of an advisory committee is great. But as the report itself says, the plan itself says, the advisory committee should be representative of the community. That was discussed at your meetings last week, and I do not see that change in the revised version. Targeting and underserved, people have been traditionally underserved by talent and gifted programming is a wonderful idea, and Johnny Winston Jr. asked that who those people are be made explicit last week, and it was made explicit only in one section of the report. I think that needs to be explicit elsewhere, particularly in the evaluation section. So these are good things that could be better, and you have the opportunities to make them better. There's some other things that could also be improved. And I need to find my notes really quick. I want to return to evaluations. I think that the Board of Education would be remiss if you did not spell out what you wanted to invest in the evaluations more. Right now we have some dates and vague language that there will be evaluations. I think you should set the kind of metrics that you want from the administration, and so that you get a thorough evaluation according to something that will help you make decisions in the future. Right now, there's no description of what you're going to get, and I think that that could be improved greatly. And finally, for now, I think you should set aside cluster grouping. I think committing to that at this point is premature. I don't think there's enough information about what that will look like in practice. I think the research base is thin, and the research base all took place in schools that were less than 1% minority. And I think just going ahead with a commitment to that is, at this point, is premature. So thank you.
Thank you. Chris Gomez-Schmidt, followed by Janet Mertz.
On the explicit identification, gender should be added to that. Janet Mertz, the president, is my name.
Thank you for the opportunity to address you tonight. I was sitting at the table last night when we discussed the Talented and Gifted Plan. I have a third grader and a kindergartner starting this fall and a two-year-old, so our experiences in the Madison School District have just begun, and I look forward to continuing to work with you in the future. I just want to make an important point regarding the TAG plan before you decide how to move forward. One is to address the scope of what this TAG plan intends. As we were working on the plan this spring and summer and looking at other district plans and the DPI guidelines, it was striking to notice that if you look at a model of identification for districts that have TAG programs in place, they all refer to a pyramid model that designates three levels of talented and gifted students. The most highly gifted students are typically 1 to 2% of the school population. Then gifted children who really need to have their needs met outside the regular classroom are another 2 to 3%. That makes the top two levels of the TAG pyramid about 5% of all students. What fascinates me the most is the so-called level one of TAG students, or the talent development level. This is another 10% of all students who are achieving highly above grade level standards, but can potentially have their needs met in the regular classroom. Meeting the needs of these students, of course, depends on systematic and continuous programming with two necessary components: appropriate cluster and flexible grouping, and access to advanced curricula, both of which are in the action steps in the current plan. There also has to be a way to evaluate how these students' needs are being met in the classroom. If this is not through a DEP, which is currently the case in the plan, then another systematic evaluation has to be in place that will be followed through the assistance of classroom teachers and building IRTs. The reason our TAG plan currently doesn't have a visual identification model is that the DPI is currently in the process of revising that model and that concept. What I don't want to be lost in this transition time of them figuring out their model and us writing our plan, however, is the fact that when we're talking about TAG students, it's not a small percentage of students. If our identification aims to be more inclusive and more TAG students will be identified over the course of the next year or two, this could mean at least 15% of all students and up to 20% of all MMSD students, as a guess. That's just a guess because we haven't done the identification yet. And that would mean one in every five MMSD students. The majority of these students will be in the talent development level. And this is where we're going to find students with potential in many different areas and from all demographic groups who need the next level of challenge to continue to progress and develop these talents. As the new and improved advisory committee reconvenes this fall, I expect that the talent development identification model will be on the top of the list of priorities to discuss. And it will need to be discussed thoroughly and be well thought out if we intend to implement this TAG plan comprehensively and effectively and with the appropriate scope. And I look forward to talking to you again back in January on the progress that we've made on this.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Janet Mertz, followed by Jeff Enriquez.
Thank you for meeting to discuss this topic. I want to congratulate the committee of people who have invested a lot of time and effort to put the report together. I strongly support this proposal or some variant of it be passed in the near future. My main concern I'd like to talk about is that there needs to be a strict timetable by which the recommendations will be implemented and follow-up will occur to make sure that they're actually being done. The reason I'm saying this, as a lot of you know, there was a plan 18 years ago. There was never any follow-up on that plan. The things that were in that plan never came to pass. It just gathered dust, nothing happened. And my concern is we've had an entire generation of students who have come and gone through this district in that 18-year interim without there being adequate TAG programming in this district. I would hate to see another 18 years pass without that, you know. So you absolutely need to have something that's going to follow up on this plan. You know, for example, I would like to see it become part of board-approved district policies that are written in rather than just being a plan. So, for example, for 8.5 years now, I've been waiting for the district to put together a board-approved policy on something as simple, or not as simple, as whether high school students can get district credit for non-district courses. It's eight and a half years and still waiting. If we can't even get a board-approved policy on that, what's going to happen to all the great recommendations that are within this plan? Just one last thing in terms of the cluster grouping. I had talked with Welda Semisek probably about 14, 15 years ago about the need for cluster grouping. Cluster grouping is crucial to meet the social and emotional needs of students, as well as their academic needs. I don't know where my namesake thinks it still needs further research. You know, I had a gifted a son whose social and emotional needs were not really adequately met until he went off to college because of the lack of true peers for, you know, cluster grouping or whatever to meet his needs here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Jeff Enriquez, followed by Sherry Galitzer.
Good evening. I'm not going to, if I take more than like 2 minutes, it's too long. I just wanted to stand up here and thank you, the board, the administration, and then the parent advisory committee that has put in hours and hours and hours of time putting together this TAG plan. I realize that members of the board, as well as some parents in the community, TJ and Janet, might be disappointed that there's not more teeth or oomph to the TAG plan. But as has been noted, it's been 18 years. So this is a first step. It's a beginning, and it's moving forward, and I'm pleased to support it for that reason. You know, if this was my class, I would get to answer your phone. Yeah. So just in closing, I wanted to encourage you to use your power, your oversight power as a board, to put teeth into this plan, to ask for measurable objectives. And as I was joking with Lori, I never thought that I would actually invoke Ronald Reagan and his quotes in support of anything that I believed in, but trust, but verify. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. And our final speaker this evening is Sherry Galitzer.
Hi, I'm a parent of three young kids. One's entering kindergarten next year, and the third is entering fifth grade next year. I was on the TAG community planning group, and I was also on the curriculum action team for the strategic plan, which was identified as by the superintendent as the coordination point between the TAG plan and their strategic plan. Just a little background. First, I want to thank you very much for moving forward on this important work and for including parents in the process. As I've said before, this approach reflects transparent, creative, and collaborative leadership that serves our community well. I didn't have time to prepare for tonight, so be patient with me. I wasn't also going to say anything, but then I realized that the comments I sent to you last month regarding insights on the strategic planning process, I believe could serve us well tonight. I want to be clear that I encourage you to accept this plan, including the cluster grouping. As a parent of a student who has benefited from it when it's been provided by teachers who would do it. I'd now like to respectfully ask for your attention on three issues as the plan evolves over the next year. One, please ensure clarity and specifics in the plan. As we know, gifted programming can be a contentious issue in the community and within the Madison system, the school system. And these tensions can put pressures on the process to remove clarity, making the plan development process a little more comfortable, but also removing meaning and clarity for implementation. I'd like to ask you to also see these tensions as a creative potential. I ask you to embrace them, to identify them, to identify misconceptions and address those misconceptions, and identify the real issues that are there and use those as a part of a creative process. And I believe, and there's examples of ways of doing this that are in systems work. And then finally, I'd like to offer, or just kind of repeat to you, an example of maybe an opportunity to use these tensions in the creative process. And can I just say one sentence? And it's just to recognize identifying and providing programming for gifted learners as a critical element for addressing equity and reducing the achievement gap. I really believe that 20% that we can find can be leveraged. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that concludes our public speaking.